Father, we just give you all the thanks and praise in the name, the precious name of your Son, Jesus. We're thankful, Lord, in that name. We're in the midst of you and you're in the midst of us. We're joined. We're one. Hallelujah. Lord God, thank you for your love towards us. Thank you for your favor. Lord, thank you that we come unto you and we're not ashamed. Because now are we the sons of God. And Lord, it doesn't appear, oh no, not yet, what it shall be. But we know this, when we see you, we're going to be like you. Now God, we thank you for that comfort. We thank you for that promise. And only the grace that you give can give us the faith to believe that, Lord. To believe you when we look into your wonderful face and understand that it is your desire, it is your will, it is by your Spirit, saith the Lord, that from glory to glory we are transformed into the very image of you. God, thank you for brothers and sisters of like precious faith. Lord, draw us into that today. Lord, let us know how exciting the moment is right now that we live in. That this isn't a moment of despair, this is a moment of rejoicing. Lord, the trump is about to sound, the Lord is about to appear, and He is going to catch His bride away. Oh, let that be a reality. Let it be our hope, and let us abound in it. God, preach your word to magnify only your Son. May the Spirit anoint and shed the love of God abroad in our hearts. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name, now and forever. Amen. Praise be to God. Well, why don't you open your Bibles with me, if you would. We're going back into 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll be reading verse 30 and 31. We've been rejoicing. Really, I almost had to ask the Lord to constrain me reading through it just as the offertory. What He's been made to us. My goodness, what He's been made to you. And let's rejoice today in it. Verse 30, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And I'm thankful it's not getting hard to do anymore, is it? I realize how nothing I am and how awesome He is. How He could have favor on a wretch like me. The likes of Him could have favor on me. My goodness. But today it's sanctification, made holy, set apart to God for sacred use, for His use. Isn't that wonderful? Began, brothers and sisters, the moment that we gave our heart to God. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You got more than hope. Christ lives in you. Oh, I haven't acted much like it. Don't care. He promised. Christ liveth in you. You're a son of God today. You've accepted Him as your Savior. Christ lives in you. That's why you're here today. It's called conviction, drawing, whatever you want to say, wooing. I pray it's the last, but however you got here, praise the Lord. I believe by His grace this message will woo you. And do some convicting as well too. Whom He loves, He chastens. Amen. Amen. Praise God. But by His grace, if we'll yield to this word, brothers and sisters, we who are in Christ, this sanctification, this separation, it's so exciting. It's so absolutely complete in itself. It grows from a child even into a readied wife. Hallelujah. Colossians 1:22 tells us that we're made holy and set apart through His death. That's not preached in most Christian churches today. It's you're made holy and set apart because of things that you do. You're made holy and set apart because of the works and how good you were and what you did for your neighbor and how much you gave to this and that and all of those things. No, it's not. You were made holy and set apart because of the death of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in Him and Him alone are you set apart unto God. And in Him and Him alone are you holy. Hebrews 12:10 tells us that it delighted Him. He rejoiced to make us partakers of it. This is about His desire and His desire alone. He is God. And it delighted Him to bring many sons to glory. And if you're a son of God, let me tell you something. You are holy and you are righteous. Praise His name. But now in everything as it is in Christ, that's only the beginning of it. As in everything in Christ, He wants you to grow up into every bit of it. He wants that wineskin full and ready to bust, doesn't He? Hallelujah. That's how God works. 2 Corinthians 7:1 tells us, perfecting holiness. That means to be completed in it, to be fully mature in it, grow up into what you are. Okay, let's get this. After you were born naturally into this world, did your parents, and then maybe you come to realize someday, oh, if I were only more human. He said, well, that's crazy. No, really, are you hoping to be more human today? Let me ask you that, are you? No, you'd say, I am human. That's how I was born. I was born a human being. And that's exactly it. When you're born of God, you're born holy. And you can't lose it. That godly DNA is exactly what it is. He's your father. Praise God. And I'm His son. And the only DNA you got when you're a son of God is His. Wasn't mixed at all. It's His. Hallelujah. I think that's pretty straightforward. And now as humans, and now as Christians, grow up. Grow up. It's a shame when people don't grow up. You're saddened when people don't grow up. The things that happen, sometimes biological, sometimes chemical, a lot of different things can happen. And it hurts your heart, doesn't it? How much more do you think it hurts God's heart when His children don't grow up into Him in all things? That's His perfect will and His perfect desire. Salvation made us vessels into the Master's house. Did you know that? You didn't put yourself there. His blood. Praise God. Welcome home. In a twinkling moment of faith, we became the children of God. And as children in the natural, many grow up, but only some mature. There's a difference. Oh yes, and you know it. And I'm talking even in the natural, but we're talking spiritual today. And then as you mature, some even receive more intimacy in the family than others. Some receive understanding of the inheritance that is theirs. And also the awesome responsibility, brothers and sisters, that goes with it. But there's even a beyond past that. There are sons and daughters with the most thankful hearts. That there's an appreciation that surpasses even words or explanation. It's just known. It's love. That's what real love is. It surpasses anything that we could ever express. But that heart, that thankfulness, that appreciation, that privilege to be in the family, the Father takes notice and invites them in to be more privy to the plan, more privy to the inheritance. He sits you down with the Holy Spirit, if you'll be willing for this, and He takes out His very will, the birthright. And He says, here's what is yours. Here's what position I'm offering you. Here's what place is right there for the taking. That you couldn't please Me any more than if you would just say, yes, Lord. It all comes together, doesn't it? I am fully able. I am fully willing, He's telling you. You're My workmanship. This isn't something that we strive or toil Oh no. This is something that only the Master can do. Now, that makes me a little bit excited to think of the potential that we have in receiving all the fullness of God. That Christ in me is the hope of glory. But, brothers and sisters, before we can ever leave the camp to go unto that glory, we know that story, and by the grace of God, go read that for yourselves back there in the Old Testament. But it says, go unto Him without the camp. Now that's exciting and it sounds great and everybody likes to talk about it. But let me tell you something. You'll never take one step out of the camp unless it's unto Him. Always remember that. Oh, all the places, all the plans, all the things I want to do. And yet unless it's unto Him, it's never going to happen. Now, many think that they've gone out from the camp, haven't they? Huh? Come on now. You know it. We've been there too. Oh, I've gone out from the camp in my religious ways and in my pious walk. And all I can ask is, my goodness, wake up and open your eyes. All you've done is walk a big circle with all of those other righteous prisses. And that's exactly what they are. Just self-righteous. And you've never taken one step out of the camp. Know it. It's got to be unto Him. And unto Him is one way, and that is by grace and grace alone. He has to draw you. Now, brothers and sisters, this is bridal sanctification that's in the offering. We know this. God has called us to preach this, and God has called us to receive this. But your will and my will never take us there, and only by my Spirit, saith the Lord. The love of God has to be shed abroad in your heart. To be encouraged, to be enlightened, to go after this. It is too narrow of a way. And it is. Now, I'm not talking about narrow in the things that I've got to cast off and I've got to do this and all that. No. It's faith. And this faith, this most holy faith, will separate you like nothing else. It'll separate you unto a first love. And unless people that are in your life that really get it, it's unfortunate. Because they'll be hurt. They will. They might be in your home. They might be your children. They might even be your spouse. I don't know. But all I can sing to you is as He sings to me. Lovest thou me more than these? I do. And it's those same two words, I do. I hope to say to Him someday. As the Father joins us at a wedding day. God has sensed in my heart such a burden. It's cutting time again. It is. A lot of weariness going on. Wednesday night, I looked at a bunch of people and I thought, boy, I'll tell you what. If I didn't know the Lord, I'd sure feel sorry for y'all. And I would. But I'm quickened to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Because there's a message that has been given to us in Christ. To endure hardness is a good soldier. To go out unto Him from the camp, bearing His reproach. Don't ever forget that. You're not going to get big high fives and praises as you go unto Him. You're going to bear His reproach. The greatest thing that He ever went unto was the cross. And everyone was there. Huh? Trying to discourage Him in any way, and especially that enemy. Oh no, it's going to be too hard. Huh? Father, why hast Thou forsaken me? But because of the joy that was set before Him, He didn't move. And by Him all things hold and consist. Even those nails that they drove into His hands, He held them there. Even the wooden cross that they put him on, he held that together. And at the very end, as I'm sure they were chanting and wishing that he would die and suffer, he had to give up the ghost. That's who watches over you. That's who loves you. Love causes us to believe it. More specifically, love causes you to believe the Lord. Love trusts Him. Love follows Him. Love hears Him. Love hearkens to Him. And love allows the Word to become alive in our lives. It does. It moves you. Moves you like nothing else. Causes you to do things that you never would. Wednesday night, fellas, I'm going to Bible study. What? Well, that was just one night, huh? And then week after week, those same ones start to fall away, don't they? They see there was a first love that drew you, that started to happen in your life, all because the love of God that draws us. Now I want you to think about this. In this natural world that we live in, the most ultimate or the pinnacle of being separated to something, I think we all would agree, is a spouse. And it is. When we talk about the epitome, the ultimate of separation in this world, you separate unto a husband or a wife. And it's true. Now, I've seen young men leave their comfy homes where mom did all the cooking and all the cleaning. I've seen young ladies. They leave their wonderful homes where their mom and dad has prepared such a fine standard of living for them. And think about this, really, if you step back, and I'm going to scare some now. And here I am putting my confidence in this unexperienced, wet behind the ears young man about maybe our future. Come on. Stay with it. And sometimes that young lady, she even surprises the home she left. She loves him so much, she starts to gladly clean the home and cook all these different things to please the one that she loves. They leave the familiar. They leave the ones that have loved them the most and done everything for them all of their lives. And why? To be separated unto their first love. I always loved how Brother Hill would bring that out. And that is brought out in Revelation so sweetly. The first love. Is he our first love? First love. That's where you get to the point where you're so delirious in love that you're not thinking about, can she cook? Okay, I'll get in today. Can he cook? However you want to do it, I don't know. Come on now. Do they even have a job? Well, love's going to make the way. Didn't you know that? Love pays the bills. Well, you know what? Love does pay the bills. The love of Jesus does. Just know that. But this is that kind of love. Where sometimes it doesn't make any sense at all, does it? How did she fall in love with him? How did you fall in love with Jesus? But I always ask him, Lord, how did you fall in love with me? How did you fall in love with me? And he tells us time and time again, I just couldn't help it. It was always that way. You were on my heart before I ever set a star in heaven. You were on my heart before any of this began. Do you realize that's what God tells you? This isn't just some romantic fluff. This is exactly what it is. Now I ask you, how come we have a hard time loving a guy like that? Huh? A God like that. Oh my goodness. We need to wake up to this, don't we? We're not excited enough about it. We're not convinced enough about it. But that's not of us. It's the grace of God. Oh, but my goodness. I pray we're getting this. See, a first love heart gladly leaves it all behind. Gladly leaves the familiar, the comfortable, even my strengths. Come on. Let's get every bit of this that he has. Even my God-given abilities. It's so long I gotta go. I'm in love here. See, these are the vessels, brothers and sisters. We brought this out on a Wednesday night. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21 talks about the vessels in the master's house. And it's so wonderful. It talks about the vessels of honor and some of dishonor. But then it also goes on to talk about a vessel that's specifically for the master's use. Oh, yeah. And I love that. I'm talking about a vessel that is so set apart, even in the house, that nobody else can use that vessel but the master. Mm-hmm. Now, the guests that come over, and even the other maybe vessels in the house, they don't think much of that vessel that's only for the master's use because, you know, it's not the centerpiece. It's not the vase that everybody comes in and says, oh my goodness, is that a beauty? Huh? It's not the pitcher that's even sitting on the table that everybody's passing around. Oh, what a useful vessel that one is. Oh no, this is the vessel that is only for the master's use. I've heard it brought out like this, the mustache cup. When I used to have a mustache, and I did, I looked kind of funny. But I had a little mustache cup. My wife did mock me using it sometimes, but it was for my use. And what about a comb? Huh? Might be just stashed away in a drawer, only comes out maybe in the morning. But only for the master's use. Let me tell you something, I get a little bent out of shape if I can't find my comb. Huh? How about my toothbrush? That's mine. I don't want anybody else using that. And you don't want to be using that either. But it's for mine and mine alone. I think you're getting this with me. Praise God. He'll bring this to us in a lot of different ways. But I ask you, brothers and sisters, what's in your heart today? To be seen or to be used of the Lord? Well, it's a big one. Now, I'm not going to tell you that Martha wanted to be seen. But she sure wanted to be doing. She had a task. Appreciate it, dear brother. He's bringing it back to my heart again. And we go through this over and over. Well, she had a gift of hospitality. Well, that's great. But Mary chose the better part. And I'm confident that Mary had a gift of hospitality as well, too. But she never let her gift get in front of the better part. I want you to win God's best. I'm just telling you, that ain't anything to me. That's just to Him. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Him. I have a desire that I could never express to you for us in Christ till we all come. And God knows that close doesn't get it. This is exact. It's a mark. It's the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not competing with you. By the grace of God in spirit, I hope to be running with you. I hope that by the grace of God, we're encouraging one another. I've been so thrilled about the ministering of the saints and how precious that is to my life. To hear the things that God is doing in your life. To hear the things that God is bringing to your life. The letters, the cards, all of these different things. Praise be to God. The supplying that He's doing in this body that we have in this little assembly. And the place that He wants us to take in that. Oh my goodness. But I'll wrap it up and I'll leave you with this. So that there's no one left in the lurch. No one scratching their head about this sanctification this morning. But by His grace, may it be a sanctification into the very midst of the throne. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, what it is it's unto Him. It's unto Him. We were rejoicing in it in the preempt today. We were His workmanship. We're created in Christ Jesus. I just love to hear the Word of God. It's the washing of that Word. It's the cleansing of that Word that continues to prepare us time and time again to go unto Him. To go unto Him. To go unto Him. To not be ashamed. Lord, You've cleansed me. The washing of Your Word, it's preparing me. Come on. She is a chaste virgin to Him. And as we rejoice, she comes up out of the wilderness, leaning upon Him. Sanctification. Set apart to God for sacred use. And all I could think about was the cherubim. I really could. I just was thinking about that time and time again. We had some studies on that for some of you who might have not been at the church at that time. And I encourage you, go back to the website. Go ask the brothers. Get those studies on the cherubim. They'll do you wondrous good. The cherubim were those two creatures that looking over the mercy seat. Eyes affixed on the blood of the Lamb. In the Holy of Holies. Made of the top of the ark. Grafted in of one piece of gold. Wings touching in perfect harmony. Oh my goodness. The four living ones. Typed right in those wonderful cherubim. And the thing that always made me maybe rejoice more than anything. Is when intimacy time came. When it was time for the intimacy of what God was going to show forth to us. The mystery that was hidden to be revealed to us. Smoke started filling all the temple. Not just the Holy of Holies. I'm talking about it went out everywhere. And everybody had to get out of there. Even the priests. The priests couldn't even hang in there anymore. And all that remained was the cherubim and the Lord. Now that's her heart right now. I'm satisfied with Jesus alone. I'm satisfied with Jesus alone. Can you really say that in your heart today? Is that a desire of yours today? Or does it got to be something else? Well, if it's something else that's got to be with it, it's not Jesus alone. Sanctification is simple. It's only one thing. It's love. It's love. Receive the love of God. Praise His name. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank You again. We appreciate Your Word. Lord, we know it is Your work. We know it's only by Your Spirit. God, I ask that really if any of these things be hard to be understood today. Lord, You said that You'd even make them known. If we be otherwise minded, Lord, You said You'd make them known. Now, God, let us have that full confidence in You. Let us, again, go unto You to draw nigh unto You. That'll separate, Lord Jesus. The love of God shed abroad in hearts today will get it done. It'll place those in the very midst of the throne with You. It'll bring the readied wife praising and saying, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." Lord, what a time it's going to be there. How wonderful to receive the exceeding riches of Your grace in Your kindness to us. And thank you, it was only because of your grace that caused us to believe it. We give it to you. I ask a special encouragement this morning upon your people. Anybody hearing this message today, God, as the brother prayed this morning, strike deep. Don't let another day go by. Let them come to this altar this morning or in the pew today. Jesus, Jesus alone. You're my satisfier. All this in Christ, what want I more? We give you the praise and the thanks for it. In Jesus' name.